On February 19, 1990, a revolutionary computer program called Photoshop was released to the public. For those unfamiliar, Photoshop is a powerful image editing software that allows users to create, manipulate, and enhance images. Since its release, photo manipulation has become mainstream, enabling highly skilled Photoshop artists to create or alter photos that can easily fool even the keenest of eyes. In 1997, a groundbreaking audio processing technology named AutoTune was released by Antares Audio Technologies. AutoTune is a tool that allows users to correct and manipulate the pitch of vocal and instrumental performances in real time. Since its release, AutoTune has become ubiquitous in the music industry, enabling artists to achieve perfect pitch. It has fundamentally changed music production, making it possible to create flawless recordings. In 2017, a new era of digital deception began with the emergence of deepfake technology. Deepfakes use advanced artificial intelligence, specifically deep learning algorithms, to create hyper-realistic videos and images where one person's likeness is seamlessly swapped with another's. In 2020, Descript introduced Overdub, a revolutionary AI-powered tool for voice synthesis and audio editing. Overdub allows users to create realistic voiceovers by training the software on a few minutes of a person's voice. This technology enables seamless and accurate audio editing, making it possible to add or change spoken content without needing re-recordings. Today, I want to highlight the increasing capabilities and potential dangers of modern digital deception technologies. To not only be aware of their existence so that we are not deceived by them, but to use caution if we ourselves wield these tools. Now, would you believe me if I told you that right now what you're listening to isn't my real voice? This is an AI-generated clone of Nathaniel Corkett's voice. Now, this is the real me talking. That AI clone sounds like me. It has my inflections. It pauses, it breathes between long sentences, and it's using my words, but it's not me. Technology has reached the point that today I only need 1 to 2 minutes of someone's voice, and I can create a reasonably accurate voice clone within a couple of mouse clicks. I use many of these tools in my day-to-day for my job, and they're incredibly valuable and make my work a lot easier. If I need to remove a logo off of someone's shirt, it's possible. If I need to make an adjustment to a voice recording because the speaker stated a factual error, instead of just cutting it out altogether, I can just use his vocal clone and create an audio patch with the correct information. It's an incredible time we're living in where these tools are available to anyone willing to learn how to use them, and it's not difficult to learn. Cost isn't even a factor, as many of these technologies are open source or priced affordably. I'm constantly blown away with the exponential advances in these softwares, mostly made possible by artificial intelligence. But as with all these new technologies come into play, the power to use them for good comes with equal power to use them for evil. Nothing is new under the sun. Man's creative ability to deceive has only become more elaborate. The form it takes might be different, but at its core, it remains the same. And that's the trouble with tech. As exciting as it is, it always, and I do mean always, gets used for wrongful purposes. All these creative technologies in the wrong hands can be used to deceive. Merriam-Webster defines deception as follows. The act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. As an aside, about 3 weeks ago, we had a news update about gaslighting, the modern term for deception based on lies. And when I saw the title and read through it, I couldn't help but be astounded because I began preparation on this sermon at 3 weeks before that update. And my topic had already been chosen before that. There we learn about gaslighting, and what I'm speaking about is how technology is now becoming part of this machine of deception. Furthermore, the following week we had our pastor's report titled The Peter Deception, which comprehensively uncovers how Satan used gaslighting to manipulate the world into believing this counterfeit church is the true church. By presenting false claims and manipulating historical and scriptural interpretations, the Catholic Church asserts a false authority, particularly regarding the Apostle Peter's role and presence in Rome. This approach involves making people doubt their understanding of history and scripture, and therefore accepting the Catholic Church's narrative as truth. There's little doubt that God wants to bring our attention to this. Now, getting back to this message's particular topic, take for example the deception of Jacob and Rebekah. Let's turn to Genesis 27 and verse 11. Genesis 27 and verse 11. We all know the story. Isaac called on Esau to go out hunt and make him some food so that he could bless him before he dies. And Rebekah overheard and concocted this wild plan to deceive Isaac into thinking Jacob was Esau. So let's just go ahead and read that, starting in verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, so that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." And Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother's, Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Imagine if Rebekah and Jacob had access to today's technology. Obviously, what they did back then was enough, even though Isaac had some reservations because he was hearing Jacob's voice. But the deception could have been even more elaborate, complete with deepfake technology where Jacob's face could be swapped with Esau's and an AI-generated clone of Esau's voice. All this happening in real time. The ultimate identity theft. Something like this did happen a couple of years ago. A finance employee in Hong Kong was tricked into transferring $25 million after participating in a video call with what appeared to be the company's CFO and other executives. These deepfakes were so realistic that the employee didn't recognize that he was being deceived until the scam was uncovered later. And when I first began playing around with this new voice clone technology, one of my first thoughts was, wouldn't it be incredible to use this technology to restore messages given by Mr. Armstrong that we either only have the transcripts to, or the recordings are very hard to hear? What if we could hear Mr. Armstrong read Mystery of the Ages to us nearly 40 years after his death? Or listen to Mr. Armstrong read all the Pastor General reports? I admit, I toyed around with a paragraph or two, and it was astonishing. Mind-blowing. It sounded exactly like Mr. Armstrong. But then again, what if this technology fell into the wrong hands? What if it was used by someone who hates Mr. Armstrong, who hates the church? What if they took some of Mr. Armstrong's messages and only changed a word here or a sentence there so that the meaning was altered, similar to how Worldwide Church of God subtly changed some of the wording in church literature after Mr. Armstrong died. Something subtle enough that if you weren't aware of this technology, you could easily be, it could easily be used to discredit Mr. Armstrong or quite literally put words in his mouth. Of course, let's not forget who the master of deception is. So let's go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Skipping down to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So you see, Satan disguises himself as something he is not, masquerading as an angel of light. And these tools are just another product of his influence, his mindset, his spirit. We're physically transforming ourselves by using these technologies into something we are not. Would he use these technologies against the church? Why wouldn't he? He's already deceived the world. We're the primary target. If he can manipulate God's people into believing something that is false to get us off the path, to change our focus, he's going to do it by any means. I don't know the specific role these technologies will play during this end time. I just know that the capabilities are there. And if we turn to 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, we're told that deception is going to get worse. So let's read it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Deception is playing a massive role in what's going on right now. We have what can be termed the perfect storm brewing up in the world. Moral decay coupled with newer and more convincing methods of deceiving and manipulating people. The church is not immune to this. So let's take Photoshop, for example. If someone removes blemishes from their skin, changes their hair color, and takes out some wrinkles, maybe pushes in their stomach and hips just a little bit to appear thinner, and then saves and posts that photo as a profile picture on one of their social media accounts, that's a photo being used as a representation of themselves. Is that no different than wearing makeup? Isn't that the same principle that's being violated? Is the intent the same, to present yourself as something you aren't? It's deception. Deception or lying using technology is just another cog in the machine. Not only must we be watchful and aware of being deceived, but to also take great care and responsibility to not use these technologies in ways that we could deceive others. Could I just had my AI voice clone give this sermon entirely? Would it have been wrong to? That's where we have to examine the principle. If I gave no disclaimer to let everyone know that my voice was an AI clone and my intent was to pass it off as myself, of course this would be wrong. But what if I couldn't speak? What if I was physically incapable of using my voice, but this technology would in essence give me my voice back? If everyone knew it was my words and an AI voice clone, would that be wrong? It's an interesting thought, and one of those things where the Bible doesn't really have a specific scripture to address these modern conundrums, but we instead have to examine the spirit of the law and apply it to the circumstance. In summary, we have seen how technologies like Photoshop and AutoTune, deepfakes, and these AI voice clones have transformed man's ability to manipulate reality. These tools, while powerful and useful, also have the potential to deceive and mislead on an unprecedented scale. As we continue to navigate this rapidly evolving digital landscape, it's crucial to remain vigilant. Satan is crafty. Deception comes in many forms, and this is but one of them. And as the saying goes, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?